Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you. Today, I'm continuing a two-part series on the parable of the sower. I'm calling it Growing Your Faith, and today's portion is about being rooted in our faith and being focused in our faith. We're using the parable of the sower from Matthew chapter 13 to look at some of the ways that God tells us that we can be strengthened in our faith and receive the word of God and bear fruit. So I'm going to read to you again from Matthew 13. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100 or 30 times or 60 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you did, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Last week, we were able to look at the meaning of the first part of the parable, the seed that falls in the path and is snatched away by the birds. And we talked about the way that parables were used as a bit of a litmus test, that Jesus spoke in these stories that required people to come and ask questions, to humble themselves in their pursuit of faith. And the disciples did humble themselves and ask questions, and so we have Jesus' explanation of the parable recorded for all of us because they humbled themselves and were willing to ask for more understanding. As we go forward today, we're going to look at the other soils, the other conditions that the seed falls into, the rocky ground and the place full of thorns, and of course, the good soil. So we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. But as usual, we're going to listen to some music, some praise of God, this being the song Holy Lord, sung by Steve Bell. Would you listen to it with me?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Once again, I want to reiterate the importance of the first part of this parable, which we talked about last week, but the requirement that the disciples understand what they hear, that when people don't understand what they hear, it kind of disappears from their minds. And the way to gain understanding for the disciples was to ask Jesus, was to seek him. And it shouldn't be at all surprising to us that God's way of teaching us is not just about information, but it's about establishing a relationship with him, where the disciples don't just listen to a teacher who speaks from a lectern and then they go away. They actually end up walking with the teacher to learn along the way, that the information imparted is only part of what the teacher is doing. He is building a relationship with his disciples, and that's what God wants to do with each of us. So don't be surprised that God leaves you with some things to pursue in your faith so that you end up pursuing him and walking with him. And even the second part of the parable, where some seed falls upon rocky ground, it falls in rocky places where it doesn't have much soil. And so it springs up quickly with the shallow soil, but as soon as the sun hits it, it gets scorched and it withers because it has no root. Well, you've probably had that situation with plants that you've planted where they started up all right and then a dry spell hit and you forgot to water them and away they went. It takes some time for a plant to get a deep root, doesn't it? There's been a number of times when I've put sod down on my yard to patch a bare spot, and you roll it in to make sure the sod, which already has roots, meets the soil beneath it. But you have to water it for days and days for the roots to bridge the gap between the piece of sod and the ground underneath. It's a long process and a very important one. It's true in our spiritual lives as well, that God has given us the Word of God, and that Word is intended to grow in us, not simply to be a piece of information filed away for future reference, but something that is putting down roots into our lives. What do we do to put down roots with God? What is the function, and how does the Word find good soil in our hearts? Well, even in rocky soil, if the plants are watered long enough, the root can go deep down into the place where it gets a purchase. And the one of the wonderful things about plants as they grow is that the roots start to accumulate soil around them as dust and silt is washed in, and the roots manage to hold on and keep it from being all washed away. Even if our lives are kind of like the rocky soil, that doesn't mean it's the end of the road for us. It just tells us that there's special attention that needs to be paid to make sure that the Word of God gets rooted deeply in our hearts. Jesus is giving us a very hopeful parable here. When you first hear the gospel, it may seem to change your life immensely, and it does. When you receive Jesus, you are a new creation. Your sins are forgiven. Your past is washed away. Your regrets and your guilt and your shame are gone. And it can seem like such a wonderful thing that it takes no more attention than that. But God's goal isn't simply to get us cleaned up and to get us free from guilt. His goal is to get us to walk with Him. And so from the beginning of the germination of the seed, from the beginning of our Christian life, there's a need to set down roots, to get more and more connected with God. It hasn't all happened just because we've had a big change right at the start. So how do we do that? Well, there's once again a number of things that help us to get rooted deeply in God. As you respond to the word that you've heard, there's definitely no danger in adding more of the word into that garden. That when seeds are planted close together and they start to germinate, they help to support each other. Supporting each other with their roots and their stems. A field of wheat is growing up with the wheat closely planted so that the wind doesn't break down the stems. They support each other. And continuing in your study of the Word of God and adding more and more understanding and knowledge to your life is going to help each part of God's Word to grow and work in your life. The ways that you can help to do that is, of course, with your own individual pattern of study. But I don't know if you're anything like me, the discipline of doing daily Bible reading isn't something that's easily caught. It's, in fact, rather difficult to do things on their own. These days, as I look around my neighborhood in the evening, I see people doing running, but very rarely do I see people running alone anymore. I see they've joined some organization that sets up appointments and meetings, and they get together with 20 or 30 people, and they run together because there's some strength in working together. And that's true of your Christian walk as well. If you've been trying to go solo and been finding it a very hard road, you shouldn't be surprised. God is calling you to get the support of others and lend your support to others. Loving God includes loving each other, and the helpful relationship that comes through pursuing God as a group, getting a friend or a few friends or getting together with other people from the church from different walks of life. All these things are ways of enriching the soil of your life so that you can take a deep root in God. You can imagine that there are other ways of enriching the soil of your life and getting a deep root in God. But we're going to move on to the next part of the parable. In this, Jesus describes one of the dangers facing plants as they mature, that there's other things growing up with them. In a well-planted field, there's often still some weeds growing in it. In my childhood, looking out over some farmers' fields, I'd often see a beautiful field of barley or corn, and in the middle of it would be a big patch of milkweed. I think it was the bane of the farmer's life. For me, as someone who liked monarch butterflies, I liked to see the milkweed there, but I know the farmer didn't. But it's precisely the weeds, which can sometimes seem pleasant, that choke out the good, fruitful seed of God's word. See, Jesus doesn't only say that the thorns, the bad weeds, are the cares and anxieties of life. He also says the bad weeds can also be the deceitfulness of wealth or the pleasures of life. That we can be distracted from the things of God by hardship and by good times. And it's very hard sometimes for us to keep our focus. Now, is there anything we can do if weeds are growing up in our life? Both hardships and riches are hard to get rid of. You don't know quite what the balance is and where the line lies. But when it comes to the hardships of life, there's no automatic destruction that happens of our faith when hardship arises. Once again, we have the opportunity to grow in the midst of hardship instead of letting it choke us. Not to let doubts and fears and anxieties dominate our life, but to face those hardships with confidence and to let the Word of God address those things. It's interesting that a healthy crop can often choke out the weeds. That if it gets a good start and is nurtured properly, then the things that you want to grow in your life can keep the weeds in their place. How are the anxieties and hardships of life affecting you as you go forward in your Christian walk? Are you letting them discourage you? Are you letting them keep you down? Or are you letting the Word of God help you understand and persevere in the midst of them? Are you finding ways to bless other people despite the difficulties that you're going through and finding joy in spreading joy? How are you responding to the thorns in your life? We're going to take a further look at this in a moment, but let's listen to one more song. And this is one song that really, to me, deals with the anxieties of life. It's from a scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And being able to spend some focus on God in the midst of anxieties is a great help. So let's listen to Carolyn Ahrens as she sings, "Be Still."
Keep talking, I derail, but there's just no stopping the train of my thoughts. It goes faster and faster. This juggernaut is my natural disaster. My what ifs collide with my wherefores and whys, till the only way that I'll survive is if I will be still. Up in smoke, I fan the flames and I stand here and choke. till I remember if I want to breathe. Then the only remedy is if I pretending I'm God. There would be much less frustration if I would let
we've made a start today at looking at the way that we can put deep roots down in our faith so that we aren't scorched or withered when hardship comes. And we've taken a look at how we can identify hardships and distractions of wealth, distractions of pleasures from keeping us from growing in our faith. We can, through perseverance and patience, through reaching out to others in the midst of our difficulties and trying to bring joy into other people's lives, we can help to take the edge off some of the hardships of our own life. At the same time, through generosity, we can make sure that the blessings that we've received don't become a curse for us. We can bless others with the blessings which we've received, and we can be sure that the deceitfulness of wealth doesn't lull us into a choked-off faith life. Jesus, in the end, tells us that there's a possibility for the good soil to produce a harvest of great fullness in our lives. Everybody's field has the places of hard soil, the rocky places, and the patches of weeds. But through God's help and through humbly continuing to seek to grow in our faith, Jesus can lead us into a fruitful and beneficial life so that we are able to be among those who reap the harvest with joy. Let's give thanks to God for the grace that He's given us. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank You for this parable, for explaining to those who ask what it means to have deep roots and be fruitful in our life with You. Thank You, Lord, for all the way that You have shown Your love for us, even creating mysteries for us to pursue, and in that pursuit to draw nearer to You. Lord, for every person who's turned their heart to You, who seeks understanding and faith, who wants to persevere and bear much fruit of joy and peace for the world around them, bless them and give them that gift, and lead them closer and closer to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close today, I hope that you'll take this message home and that you'll listen to this message as a prayer for yourself, as the group This Hope sings the song, "Take My Life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.